reconvene for the admin portion of the meeting. We have a couple items on consent, maybe just one. Let's see here. One item on consent. I move we pass that, approve that item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right, discussion matters with the commission. The first one is franchise fees. Victor, you did your duty as requested, and have communicated with the various entities on franchise fees and are here to report back.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I drafted a memo here a week or so ago to all of you on what my findings were. The answer was similar from all three utilities. It would require extensive programming within each of their systems in order to get the city name followed by franchise fee added to all of them. What did seem to be relatively quick and easy to do, if the commission is agreeable to it, is just to simply say city franchise fee for all of them. It's not the preferred method, but I think it's as close as we can get without.
Personally, I think it's a great solution. I'm fine with it.
Sure.
Anybody else have input?
Well, I don't want them to incur additional expense to. It would be nice to have the city, but I understand that programming can be an interesting world unless you're Matt or Steve, and then it's like a walk in the park. But
right, it's unfortunate they don't employ him. But
right, so I'm okay with that.
Sure,
I will say I could see that there might be some communities that would need an abbreviation. You know, maybe there's a line limit, but for a lot of the communities. I mean, city would probably be shorter in almost all the communities, but most of the communities would only be a few additional characters. I find it hard to believe that it's this hard, but I don't. And I think it would be better to designate it, because there probably will be people that think that, well, all cities just have this, as opposed to this is something my city's doing, mm-hmm. and I could go talk to my city leaders. And so I wish it were otherwise, but I don't think it's
right.
worth the fight.
One question, will this be accompanied when the change is made on, and I think one might already do it that way?
I believe so. I don't recall the details off the top of my head right now,
yeah,
but
or
I
something
think
very
it's,
similar
it's very
to
close
that.
To what all of them are doing. Yeah. I know there is at least one. I think MDU does it slightly different for Valley City, because theirs is a different mm-hmm. type of charge. Theirs is a dollar amount per customer rather than a percentage of bill. So because of that, they're able to call that one out, and they actually call it Valley City.
Now, this would be, well, it could be generic in some respect. So when it says city, it's changed to city franchise fee. Could there be a bill stuffer that would go into that customer's bill? You'll notice a slight change on your billing. Talk about city franchise fee and what that is. That's a fee imposed by, you know, the city, et cetera, whatever it might be, just to make it.
Were you envisioning a different stuffer for each city?
No, it could be one. It could be generic, but they would just have to select the customer bills that actually have a franchise fee attached to them. It wouldn't be across the board, because
sure.
not all cities have franchise fees. But
I think that should be possible. I'll find out with them. I think any kind of change to the bill, I think they usually will do some sort of
for me
bill stuffer to explain it.
Yeah, for me the big thing was just the element of transparency. And it was somewhat vague and ambiguous on some of the billings. And you know, customers deserve to know this is what the charge is and what's driving it.
Okay, sounds good. So you will, this is an improvement. You'll check with them on the bill stuffer and
yep. This,
you can just
I'll handle
know.
It at this point and I'll, yeah I'll report back, but I don't expect any issues with that. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Victor. Moving on. So you should have in your folders a little copy of the email that Brigham sent out yesterday, directing his agencies, his cabinet agencies, to evaluate impacts of Biden administration's executive orders on the energy industry. And I thought that we should probably ask our folks to do this too. I don't know how extensive of a project that would be, but our coal mining reclamation has pretty substantial impacts that could be felt. And the AML program with that expiring, which may or may not be impacted by Biden, but I would assume at this point it would be because he's not big on coal. So he's probably not going to be big on that program either. So I would like to see us participate some way in this if it was feasible. And I know this got added a little late, so Dean's not down here. I think his group would probably be the only ones that would probably need to do it. So I'll just maybe see what you two thought of it. And Randy, it's your portfolio. Maybe you could talk to Dean if you see fit.
Yeah, I agree with most of that. And you know, I don't know what kind of depth the governor's requesting his cabinet agencies to go into. I know with session going on and the level of staffing that we have here, they probably, you know, can't prepare all the background for a legal suit or something like that. But I think it's fair to ask kind of an evaluation, and we could potentially report it to the governor, because there certainly is that. I think the key impact as far as the abandoned mine lands program is the fact that as coal gets cut out of the picture nationwide, the AML money comes from the coal mining.
Right.
So there just it'll have to be a reduction in dollars. But the other thing is it probably goes beyond reclamation and AML in that, you know, like I think at this point the oil and gas leasing, first it was everything on federal land, then they backed off and the tribal trust lands, you know, they said, wow, that's not what we really mean by federal. And at least for now, it's my understanding that what's already leased can still be drilled. But, I mean, those are things that are right on the edge that would greatly impact our utilities and, you know, all the things we were just talking about with rates for the last half a dozen motions. So some of these things, I don't know if there's any of them that right now have an immediate impact, but they sure can over the long term.
And maybe Dean could, so he's basically saying fiscal, economic, and workforce impacts of this regulatory overreach. So I maybe he can reach out. Dean could just ask the coal folks to Lignite or somebody to put together some figures.
I'm guessing somebody associated kind of has some ideas.
Yeah.
And I will volunteer to work with,
all right,
with Dean on that.
That would be great. I think it's a great – I think Burgum is doing the right thing, and I hope that they use it and send it to the senators and Congress member. And we can't just sit here quietly and hope that it changes, because it isn't going to. all right, so that's that.
Commissioners?
Yes.
May I verify which areas you want to – have look at this? It may go farther than just,
I think for now, coal mining and reclamation and AML.
What about PUD?
No, I don't know how we dig into PUD quite yet.
All right. Thank you.
I mean, when the clean power plan, whatever it's going to be, comes out, that'll have a huge impact on PUD. But siting, I mean, that would be potentially impacted, but there haven't, you know, I don't know how you'd quantify that, but I think we should start with coal. And
I think that's a starting point. I don't want to close the door.
If
we think of something with a, you know, more immediate impact on utilities, then we move ahead in the same direction, because I think the goal certainly has merit here.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's see here. I'm going to pull up the agenda. think that's it for discussion, but I see Jack here. Did you have something to add, Jack?
I think Brian Johnson added one issue for scheduling, and that's really what I've come here to speak about.
So we'll get to that. That's why you're here. All right. If there's no other items on discussion, we'll move to scheduling the RTO update meetings, our favorite thing to schedule.
Well, before you start on scheduling, Madam Chair, I just want to emphasize that this Saturday, if we have to go into weekend stuff, is off limits because it's President Reagan's birthday.
Happy birthday, Ronnie. How old would he have been?
I don't know, but
it's awesome.
Still my favorite.
Yep. Okay, I'm getting out my calendar. Hopefully you guys will too.
So for mine, we won't need the calendar. I'm just kind of looking for a general idea. I'm assuming you don't want to start the idea of these until probably May, just with thinking about session and other priorities we have right now. We would normally have them on our normal six-monthly schedule approximately February or March.
Okay.
But we've moved them all over the place throughout time. So if you just kind of give me a month to start with, we'll go out and get some dates, and then the next meeting or two, we'll try to get them a little closer to nailed down. But I just wanted
late April or May sounds fine.
I would recommend going into like the second full week of May.
Okay.
Oh.
Leave a little time to wrap up the session.
Okay. Do you have any preferences?
No preferences.
Okay. There we go.
Mid-May or beyond?
Second week of May.
Okay. Second week of May.
Mid is third and fourth.
So mid be second and third?
Well, if you're looking at mid, you have to start at the after the second. All right. Hearing, Brian. Oh, did we all bring dates as Brian had asked us to? I did. Where did I put mine?
You were downstairs, so I didn't have a chance to talk to you. But I was hoping to have some dates from the parties, but it just hasn't worked out. So I think moving forward would be best if we can get dates from you guys mid to end of March. On what might work, I can forward them on, and hopefully I can get a positive response from everybody that will line up with that.
Was the 24th or 25th, those dates did not work?
I think NODAC Electric was unavailable for hearings during that period of time.
Okay.
And my understanding is that 15th and after, Brian?
I believe so, yes. I think ALJ Dawson had sent an email this morning. Most dates should work for him, I think. There's a few in March that don't. But, again, I think at this point just getting dates from you and moving forward, it will probably be easiest.
You want it after starting the middle of March?
At March 15th and after.
Yeah.
Was that what the NODAC provided? I didn't see that email.
I believe so, yeah.
Because that week before, for some reason, seems to be so empty, but... How about the 23rd?
The 23rd.
Commissioner, I show a MISO board meeting.
Yeah. That one, yeah. So the 23rd, that week of the 23rd, I'm not free until the 25th after 9.
I think the 25th we're going to have something.
Twenty-fourth and 25th do not work.
Open for
correct.
That was February 24th, 25th.
Oh, February.
Correct. That's what we. That's the dates that didn't work. That's why we're having to
push things to March. I was in the wrong month.
Nope, that's okay.
So throw that date out again.
March 15th and on.
So on March 15th, I'm available after 10, and I'm also available on the 16th after 10. But we do have, another hearing
we have the MDU hearing that starts 1 o'clock on Wednesday the 17th.
Yeah. So that might get a little too.
And a commission meeting that morning, actually.
That's why I suggested going into that following week.
So that next week, then on the 25th and 26th, I would be available on the 25th after 9 or 9:30, and then any time on the 26th.
I had made a note here. I thought we were saving the 25th as a potential Kessler elite case.
We just set that one today.
It was set for the...
Did we set that for the 25th? Okay.
Just hasn't been added yet in the calendar.
I see. Okay. So that... All right. And do we need one day for this?
I think one day should be sufficient.
Is one day sufficient for Kessler?
For Kessler. That's hard to say. If we need to hold over for additional days, we can do that as well, though.
What about 30th and 31st, two-day block?
Those work fine for me.
And the 31st, for some reason, we have scheduled our commission meeting for April 1st, not the 31st, that Wednesday. I can't remember why.
It's for a good April Fool's joke, maybe?
Is that potentially Ash Wednesday? I don't know when Easter is.
No, Ash Wednesday's way before that. The 31st.
Right, yeah, that's an interesting point. We moved it to the 1st for a reason, but I have nothing on my calendar.
Jill, do you know?
Is it something that would not have been tied to the legislature because... crossover will already have occurred.
I don't know.
I'm available on the 31st. I'm available on the 30th as well.
So those would be possible dates. Why don't you start with those?
It would be nice just in case there is some sort of other additional conflict between parties to have a separate week too. If we had to do it, I mean, as a backup on the 15th, I know we do have a packed hearing week. I don't think this is going to be an overly extensive hearing relative to other cases we've had. I think the facts are a little more limited. If we had to push it the 15th, would the commissioners be available for that?
I would be.
Okay.
Do you envision starting, knowing that both parties have a fair amount of travel to do to get here. If we started even at 9 in the morning, they're probably still going to have to come in, stay overnight, unless they leave really early. I'm thinking we could probably get through it in 5 to 6 hours. And if we went later, we went later, but in terms of... I'm just thinking you've got Nodak and Grand Forks. You've got Otter Tail coming in from Fergus Falls. They both have approximately 4 hours of travel time. I wouldn't be opposed to starting at 11, knowing if we're not wrapped up, well, then they're going to be have to decide if they want to travel back that evening. And it would be more accommodating for both parties.
I'm guessing whether it starts at 8 or 9 or if it starts at 11 that they're going to come the night before probably.
Yeah, I would guess so.
And it probably is more convenient for them. And Brian can work this out with Ivor. I don't care what time we start. But they might prefer actually to come the day before to make sure they're here and ready on time and then make sure they get done that day.
So if we did the 15th, I mean, my only concern is that doesn't leave us hardly any flexibility that week for legislative stuff that might be happening.
Yeah.
That we're pretty much locked up on the 17th, 18th, and 19th, depending on how long that hearing goes.
Right.
So, I mean,
commissioners?
I guess we could, but what, Brian?
The 29th through the 31st had been held open for an MDU technical hearing that's been moved, so that should be.
Oh.
Free area. That's why the commission meeting was moved.
Okay, so the 30th and 31st are available. So we can use those dates. So a second date, either the 15th or we go later. So let's decide whether we want to, is there a high value in going earlier?
No, it was just more of a backstop because a party has a whole week set aside for trial. Hypothetically, I was just trying to give a a second option on a separate week.
Right, but for the second, could it be after the 30th or 31st?
I believe it probably could be after that as well.
Okay, so the 29th or the 30th or 31st works for me. The 15th does not.
Okay. Let's look at the next week in April, the 5th, 6th, 7th, that week.
That whole week looks pretty good for me.
The 6th looks really good for me. And I could do the 5th after 10. How is your schedule on the 6th of April, Brian?
It's fine.
Okay. There was our second date.
Good.
All right.
And I think Brian had a good point. That Brian, and if that Brian works with him, if they both like prefer to drive out that whatever morning it's going to be and start at 11 or something like that, that's fine with me. And if they're quite sure they're coming the night before anyway and want to start early, that's fine.
I'll work with everybody and we'll figure that out.
Perfect.
Fair enough. So can you rattle off the dates again?
So we have March 30th and 31st and April 5th after 10, and the 6th is open for everybody, it looks like.
Sounds good.
I guess, was the 5th okay with you and Brian? Was the 5th okay with you?
Yes.
Okay.
I just left that. Yes.
Okay.
That whole week is fine.
All right.
Okay.
Let's make sure we get that.
All righty. Thank you. That concludes our scheduling. Is there any other items that anybody needs to discuss? All right. We're adjourned.
Oh, there is. This is only... potential issue.
What do I have to do?
I'm just.
I did adjourn, but we are going back into session briefly.
Let me just say we're not. Correction. We are not adjourned. We're still.
We are not adjourned. We're still going on.
I think that suffices in terms of Robert's rules, etc. So,
Randy has one more item.
We have that MDU. Hearing on the 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Of which month?
Of March.
Okay.
And on the 18th, a conflict has developed for me from 1 till about 2, but it might be even 2:30 till I would get back up here. I don't know if we want to alert the company to that a little bit, and maybe we could go longer into lunch. I'll work with whatever makes everyone else happy, but I would really like to not be here.
I have the same time period.
Time period.
And so I think we already made that distinction with them because I have an OMS board meeting from 1 to 2:30 that I won't be able to.
Oh, okay.
So I think we may have already told the company we'd have to break if we weren't
That's
done.
My recollection, yes.
Okay.
So same for me.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Now, we're adjourned.
Oh, wait a second.